sure you're ready?
Are you sure you're
I've
ready?
I've never
are
been sure more ready? Ready.
Born ready.
Oh, so ready.
Born I'm ready, so ready. Had a relapse.
I've never. Never been more ready.
Oh, I'm meeting everybody. Welcome to the weekly wind down. I'm glad we keep this so professional, because otherwise it would taint our image. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
So,
and I'm eating Junior Mints because I'm on my period.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Isn't she always on her period?
Yes. It's so weird, like once a month.
No. No. You're on it. You're on it like half the month.
My cycle is a little short. My period is short, but my cycle is also short. So my cycle is like 21, 22-ish days.
Oh, okay. So every 20, 22-ish days.
Yeah, like a normal cycle.
I feel like you're always on your period.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I feel like that too.
So dang. I'm drinking.
I'm surprised we're not all synced up.
I know.
I'm drinking Soma IPA out of San Francisco. I bought it because it was on sale at Safeway, but it's hella good.
Well,
100%
good.
Would buy it again at full price. I really like the cans.
Dang.
They say, I have great stories, but you'll have to drink them out of me, which, I mean, that's super cute. Clever. I love it. That's
I love it. I love it. I'm drinking Michael David's Freak Show Petite one. So it's the one with the elephants and the big top tent. Aww. I love it. I love it so much.
They have the cutest labels.
They do. They have the best label
there. Epic for me. Like, it's just the best. Top five.
I am drinking water and tea because I'm taking care of Piper because she had surgery.
Calm down, Stacey.
I know. It's a real party over here.
Wild.
I know.
Piper's on her period, too.
Piper is the saddest thing anybody's ever seen right now. She just is like...
Don't get the period?
Well, you get them neutered and then...
Yeah, if they've been spayed, then they don't.
Then they don't.
Right. Growing up, like, we had a dog that didn't because they were going to breed her, and she was a lab, and that thing bled all over the place.
Yeah, that would be really annoying.
Right, but then my other dog, Lila, like, I didn't have her spayed for a while because I was real scared about it, and then I thought it'd be fun to have puppies, and then I realized that with small dogs, a lot of times you have to have C-sections, and that it's a lot of work, and then I would feel bad taking her babies from her, so I got her spayed eventually. But she barely bled at all because she was such a small dog, and this is going to sound gross, but she really licked it all up, and you never noticed.
Oh, my God. I had to get a little diaper for Hannah.
Too. I always avoided, like, getting, like, girl animals. I'm always like, is that a thing?
It is. I always avoided getting boy dogs because I don't want their weird little...
Their magic cloners, lipstick?
Like, their little lipsticks all over the place.
I know.
Yeah.
That creeps me out, man.
That was a fun sidebar.
Yeah. Erin, what are you drinking?
I mean, it's really okay. We can skip me. I'm drinking vodka. Some Tito's. I just haven't had time to go to the store. It's been a fucking shit show of a week, too. So,
agreed.
So, I mean, you know what? Cheer yourself all the way to this podcast, Jackie, because I'm drinking vodka already tonight.
Done. Look, hey, yo! How many distilleries are making hand sanitizer? She is sanitizing her
That's
liver.
That's probably why I haven't gotten COVID.
I know.
Just saying.
And the president said if we like could drink hand sanitizer, it might help. So you just thought one step ahead and you're doing it.
Like Jason Bourne in the Bourne movies uses vodka to like sanitize a wound before he pulls out a bullet. So I feel like at the end of the day, I'm okay.
It's solid science.
Is it hurting?
Only in the mornings.
I'm the only one that still drinks wine on the wind down. Like, what even happened?
No. I'm going to drink wine next week, for sure.
I'll drink wine next week, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I drank wine last week.
I didn't last week.
I thought you'd been drinking beer the whole time.
No, I drank wine last week. All right. Fucking. Oh, and everyone, don't worry. We are going to cover Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry. We've set aside a solid 3 hours, so take a lap around the parking lot. But first, we're going to talk about Kanye West.
Also, our conversation.
Right.
Stacey, why don't you lead it off?
Okay. So Kanye is in the middle of an episode. He is bipolar. And so I think a lot of this started like when he decided to run for president. I would say it was probably the catalyst of where, you know, it started getting a little, well, I mean, whatever. He's also kind of an egomaniac. So I don't think the run for president surprised anybody. Question. Yes?
Comment? Is this a known thing that he's manic? I'm sorry to interrupt so soon. I never remember hearing this. And I'll be real honest, up until probably 2016 when he became a Trump supporter, I really literally did not know this about him. And I was very much a Kanye fan up until that point, which is sad to say, but whatever.
I feel like this wasn't news to me when Kim put it in her statement a couple days ago. So I feel like maybe in the Kim and Kanye era that had come out at some point already.
Okay.
So, so I don't think it was.
This isn't brand new news.
No, I don't think so.
When the insulted Taylor Swift, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like that's when it came out that he turned into an asshole after that. After that, it was like left and right. He said stupid shit.
He has been dead to me since.
Made a spectacle of himself.
Right. Well, he made the whole comment about before he had the whole George Bush doesn't care about black people, which was like accurate. on Saturday Night Live. But then remember a couple years ago, he had the whole like all these weird comments about slavery and how they chose to be slaves and all kinds of weird stuff. I feel like that's when it really started coming out about his bipolar disorder. I know he said that we'll go through a greatest hits of his tweets lately, which I think is important to do. But I really feel like the catalyst for me with this presidential run was when he said he was running as a member of the birthday party, which just made me giggle.
Because if he won, it was going to be everyone's birthday.
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
Right. So I think with most things, it's okay to look at it as a, this is very sad that on such a large scale, he's having this breakdown of sorts, but also some of the stuff he's saying is gold at the same time. So he has been going on a more of a Twitter binge than Trump, I would say at this point. But things are oddly phrased and there's a lot of really weird stuff. He did refer to Kris Jenner as Kris Jong-un, which I laughed at so hard. So he basically started spilling all this tea about the Kardashians. And so the very first thing he said that was made crazy headlines was he talked about when Kim got pregnant with North that he wanted her to have an abortion and that she saved their baby. And so in my mind, I was he's just trying to pander to the conservatives by saying whatever. But that's literally nobody's business. Who knows whether it's true or not? I really feel just in my time watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, that they were trying to get pregnant, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong, but to say that at a rally, at a campaign rally.
Knowing your kid's going to see it at some point?
Right.
Yeah, that's sick.
And the family had no idea he was going to say any of that stuff. It caught them completely by surprise. And sort of started this chain of events. And so it's kind of spiraled downhill since then with him talking about how he should have divorced Kim when she met with Meek Mill to talk about prison reform and how, wives shouldn't do that kind of stuff to their husband, which are you against prison reform? I don't understand why you have a problem with that. It's so
and
weird.
Let's be real clear. The only thing wives shouldn't do to their husband is cheat on them and abuse them. Everything else, they're being their own person, doing their own thing, or actively work against the best interests of their family. I hate when people are my wife didn't ask me. What the fuck does that even mean? like that. What are you talking about right now? Your wife is a grown ass person. And sure, you can check in to make sure schedules line up or that nobody else has anything planned. But asking for permission, oh my God, it's so 1950s, Kanye.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then to say like you should have divorced her because of that, like it doesn't make any sense. So she also, it sounds like, I don't know if they went to where he is in Wyoming or what happened, her and her mom, but then he tweeted about how she was, the two of them were trying to get him 5150'd, and that's on white supremacy or white privilege or something. And I was like, no, you're like off your rocker, and they're really trying to do the right thing to help you. So, you know, Dave Chappelle went to visit him to check on him because he was super worried about him. He like thanked him for that. So I just thought it was interesting that like you're going to thank Dave Chappelle for coming in to check on you, but like your family, who you're literally related to, is coming in to try and get you help also.
Didn't he say something about didn't he compare him to like Get Out, the movie?
Yeah he said that everyone knows he's living in the movie Get Out.
That Get Out is based on him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. But I don't know. I just feel like it's sad to see someone so prolific go through this regardless of what his views are, I guess. I don't know. It's sad to see an artist have to struggle like that. I don't know why.
Well, it's hard to see anybody, right? Like, that's something people talk about. And so I will say, like, Kim Kardashian put out a statement about it that actually I thought was really, like...
I agree, and I don't like Kim Kardashian. I thought it was good.
Thought it was really, like... You know, like, she didn't beat around the bush, which I appreciated. Like, she just basically said, like, listen, he's bipolar. He's, like, he's got some mental health issues, and we just ask that you, you know, give him some dignity and some compassion. And it doesn't in any way eradicate his sort of, like, lofty ambitions, whether people think they're silly or not. You know, it doesn't negate them that he wants to be president or do any of those things, but he definitely, like, he's going through it right now.
Well, he also went on a tirade about like Harriet Tubman, and he said some really damaging things to the about the Black community. And I it's been hard for me to like talk shit. One, I have never liked Kanye. That is not like it has nothing to do with his bipolar disorder. Yeah. I don't like him.
Yeah.
I think he's overrated.
Yep.
Like, his music's okay. Yeah. I like some of them, but this whole like he's a musical mastermind or genius, I don't see
I don't see that either. Like, I don't either.
I mean, I think the closest thing we've had to a musical rap genius is Tupac, but that's me. But
I really like Jay-Z too, even though he fucking cheated on Beyonce.
Lin-Manuel
Miranda. Yeah.
I just don't think he's like a groundbreaker in my opinion. I do think that it's really sad to watch someone so publicly have a manic episode because it's hard on the family, especially when he has such like a pulpit for, you know, making sure that everyone in the world hears him. I feel incredibly bad for his children. I do. And I don't like him. I do think, as much as I can't stand Kim Kardashian, I do think she handled it the best way that she possibly could have. But that being said, letting him off the hook by saying this disease is part of his genius. No. They said
he is as a person
for sure, but they said he goes off every time he's writing an album, he goes off of his meds so that he can be more free flowing creatively. And while I understand that bipolar medication, and I'm talking so grossly unqualified to discuss this because I'm not a doctor, nor am I a person that suffers from bipolar disorder, but in my head, when I see someone make an excuse for going off their meds of, well, it helps me creatively, my thought is, at what cost? You've just hurt your family, you've hurt your wife, you've hurt your children. Mm-hmm. So and if you are aware of how you become when you get off your meds, I could see if he was being like, I'm going to write this album, I'm going to Wyoming, take off my internet, like blah, 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 so I don't have contact with the outside world. And then when I'm ready to come back, I'll get back on it, whatever. But humiliating the people that you proclaim to care about, I just don't think it's an excuse. Like, musical genius is not an excuse for it. in this day and age. And I'm not saying Kanye is the only artist that hasn't suffered from mental health. Obviously, we know that is not true because millions of people suffer from mental health. That's why I don't think it's an excuse to behave the way that he behaved.
I agree.
Right. Well, and I was just reading.
It's sad, though. It's super sad.
It's super sad. I was just reading because, and now I've heard it two different ways, that this article is saying that he said that Kim wanted to have an abortion. And he was on there crying, saying he had to stop her from murdering their baby.
That makes more sense to pitching towards the conservative side.
Right. But, like, who says that? And then he also says, like, you know, who else protected a child? My mom. My dad wanted to abort me, and she stopped it. Like, then he said that Harriet Tubman never freed the slaves. And then he was, like, he promised that America would be run like Wakanda. And then the birthday party.
I can get behind that. If he can make that happen, Wakanda's I can get behind not that.
And he like protects Wakanda us from COVID.
It sounds like when, like, high schoolers run for class president and they're like, pizza in the cafeteria and Red Bull in the, like, soda machine every day.
That's what it sounds like. Homework.
Yeah.
And we're going to be the birthday party.
Yay. That's what it sounds like.
Right? There's like, you know, the handmade posters up all around Wyoming. Yeah. Kanye.
Now,
pizza in the cafeteria.
I do want to be clear. I don't think having, like, mental health issues disqualifies you from being president. Like, I don't think it disqualifies you from a leadership position. I don't think it disqualifies you. So I'm poking fun, but I don't think those are disqualifiers. If he was managing them correctly.
Right.
If he was being responsible about his treatment plan, then it would be an entirely different conversation. Like, look at Demi Lovato. She has spoken very openly and very vulnerably about being bipolar, and she has never gone on a triad like this. Like, this is so you can
not
have
so publicly,
you
yeah.
can have compassion for what he's going through and understand that he was being reckless about it. So I think we can hold space for both of those things.
I think part we should make too, this. I'm sorry. You can go, Stace.
You go.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, I think that this is part of the thing, reason why I don't remember ever hearing this about him, because when it first happened, I was like, whoa, holy shit. No one's voting for Kanye now. But now I'm like sad about it, because I feel like, even though, like, okay, so like I said, I was a fan. I really did like Kanye, and the Kanye Jay-Z album was like one of my very favorite albums. I have to say that. I am the whitest of white, but I freaking can get down with some rap. So, like, I seriously loved that album so much. So when he started to go down this deep dark hole, like, especially after the Taylor Swift stuff and especially now this, and then when he, like, through between that was the Donald Trump era, where he was, you know, shaking hands with him in the Oval Office and da 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 da. I just feel like I don't ever remember this happening, because I think that I would have had a little bit more compassion for him, instead of, like, immediately my first thought was make fun of him, which is sad. Uh-huh. That's really sad, and I hate to admit that, but I guess I am. Right out loud on the podcast. So there you go.
What were you going to say, Stace?
Well, I was just going to say that we should make this like a celebrity episode. If you know what's going on with Save Britney Spears, Stacey, you should touch on that too. Yeah, and so Jada and Will, we should touch on that too.
Agreed. So the one last thing I'll say about Kanye that is just so odd that he's posting right now is, like, fonts. Handwritten fonts. He's just posting, like, he's writing things and then putting, like, font life or, like, future fonts. So that's the thing that's happening too.
That's strange.
Okay. Yeah.
Britney Spears?
Yeah, there it is. The West Wing. Britney Spears, where'd it even begin? So.
Wait, we're going with Britney now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're moving on.
Change so
Britney.
Gears.
Britney, after she had her head shaving incident, she was put into a conservatorship. that her dad was put in charge of. So basically, after a normal period of time that would have ended for somebody who was having a mental health crisis, they extended hers and basically said that she has, like, dementia. And she, you know, she doesn't have access to really make any decisions about herself, spend any of her money. She gets an allowance of, like, I forget what it is, but for somebody who has millions of dollars, it's like $1,000 a week or $1,000 a month or something. Like, it's not very much money. And so there is a new conspiracy, the hashtag Free Britney conspiracy, that basically she's being held inside her house. So when she's posting these crazy videos of herself, like, just walking back and forth in front of the camera and, like, trying on clothes and stuff, that's literally, like, the only thing she's allowed to do, exercise, dance in front of her camera. And basically her dad and her family are, like, profiting off of her, and she's not allowed to spend
like
that money. She can't see her kids. She has no control over any part of her life at, like, I don't know how old is she, 36, I think, years old.
Yeah. Well, if you watch her videos on TikTok and on Instagram, they're definitely creepy. I could fall down that conspiracy rabbit hole of, you know, people in the comments say something like, if you need help, wear yellow in the next video. And she did. Uh-huh. If you need help, show us flowers. And she held flowers. If you need help, give us a sign. And she, like, didn't blink for a video. I know it's conspiracy theories, but at the same time, I could fall down that rabbit hole because her dancing is very, like, erratic. Mm-hmm. Her videos are very strange and, like,
she's
marionette puppet-like. Yes,
she speaks in a very odd, like, you had some questions, and your question was, what's my favorite color? And my favorite color is probably blue. And
I don't know if this particular one is necessarily a conspiracy theory or there is some level of claim to it, because clearly she has guardians ad litem, right? Like, there's people who definitely control what she's able to do. The only part that I'm unsure of is how much of it is truly for her own well-being and how much of it is because they're treating her like a circus animal and just making money off of her. I don't know the depths of Britney's mental health. Like, I just, but if she's well enough to, like, go out on stage and perform for them and, you know, rake in the cash, you have to wonder how much treatment are they actually getting her. How sick is she really? Well, like, or is it
I don't know how much control she has over what she's doing, but also, like, I mean, I don't know if it's to the point where she would go out on stage to perform and say, I need help, you guys, like, I'm being held captive, and how much she's drugged. I don't know what kind of antipsychotics and stuff she's on, because if you watch her videos, she comes out and she smiles, very forced smile, and, like, spins in circles and smiles and spins like a puppet. It's creepy. Yeah.
It's very weird. Creepy.
Do I need to fall down this rabbit hole?
I am not falling down this rabbit hole.
You should.
I haven't heard anything about this.
Go follow her on Instagram, because that's a good place to start. Yeah. Go watch all her videos on Instagram when we're done, and that's the place to start.
The thing that's really crazy about this is she had her big, like, public meltdown.
We're going to get a text from Aaron tomorrow and be like, we have to go get Britney Spears.
Let's go find her.
So much work to do. This started 2007 was when she had her big meltdown, right? 2008, she was hospitalized a couple times. She had her psychiatric evaluation. And then that's when, like, it's a full conservatorship. So that sort of, like, court approved conservatorship is usually for someone who's, like, elderly, infirm, fully mentally disabled, in a coma. Like, that's what that's meant for. And so she has been in this conservatorship for 12 years. She doesn't make any of her own financial decisions. She doesn't do any of that. And so when you look at during that time, during those 12 years where she's been considered, like, you know, unfit, you know, mentally unfit to the level of someone who's comatose or, you know, severely mentally disabled, she has also put out albums, made music videos, world tours, performing at events. She had a perfume line. She's had clothes. She had a residency in Las Vegas. And so it's really hard in my mind to believe that someone that can do all of those things can't be in control of their own. It doesn't right. seem like those two things should be able to coexist.
Yeah. Well, I was reading this one, like, theory, because there's a lot of theories on TikTok about what is going on. And it talked about how she has been told what to do since she was a child on, like, Mickey Mouse Club. Mm-hmm. And she's been told, perform. Go out there and perform and be this puppet, basically, for so long that it reached a breaking point where she didn't know how to live her own life. Which, right. I mean, I get, you know, with, like, child stars, that does happen, and a lot of them turn to drugs and alcohol and other things, and apparently that's one theory, is that she reached her breaking point and she just needs to be told perform, or that's what she thinks she needs to do.
But should they be right. allowed to do that at that point? Like,
well, here's the thing. So what it has happened now is her conservatorship has been made permanent. Like, it's a permanent conservatorship. And so in the state of California, the duties of a conservator of the person are to arrange for their care and protection, decide where they will live, make arrangements for their meals, health care, clothing, personal care, housekeeping, transportation, shelter, recreation, and well-being. So she doesn't have control over any of those things, which makes sense for someone who is elderly, severely mentally disabled. But for someone that can go and have a residency in Las Vegas, that doesn't add up to me. And
how
then
is that? Oh, I'm
sorry. Oh, no, I was just going to say, in regards to her estate, which again is like multi-million-dollar estate, manage her finances, locate and control all of her assets, collect her income. So like the income doesn't even go to her. It goes to the conservatorship. Make a budget to show what the conservatee can afford, pay their bills, invest their money, protect their assets, account to the court and to the conservatee for the management of the conservatee's assets. So, like, she literally doesn't have control of any of that as she continues to earn money for the estate.
How does she get out of this ever?
I don't know that she can. It's permanent.
She would have to be mentally aware enough and hire her own lawyer and say and fight it. But I don't know what kind of drugs she's on to stabilize her moods to make her kind of zombie-ish.
And like, she can't even make enough. Those decisions. It's not in her control to make the decisions about what medication she takes.
What a shit Oof. Show.
Yeah.
This is so sad.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys, prepare for the text because I'm falling down this rabbit hole. I'm telling you right now, I love Britney. I'm sad about this. I didn't even know this. I'm so out of it these
it's
days.
Lots of her like working out. I think the one that really got everybody's attention, besides the all of the ones of her just walking back and forth, was when it was the gym.
Yeah.
In my gym, then I burned my gym down. Like, yeah. Oh. Well, I'm sorry. Come again. What now?
I'm not laughing but, like, at Brittany. I was so laughing at Stacey's face. Yeah. Listen at home.
Like, it
Don't
was
at
so
me.
Normal. Like, it was so normal to just, you know, when you burn down your gym. No.
No.
No, my gym is a shake-made trampoline,
I think
Stacey's parents will jump in by.
Some people are like mentally strong enough to be child actors and to like sustain the longevity of growing up in it. Like, I mean, you look at Drew Barrymore, she stood the test of time, but she struggled. She became addicted to drugs and she had a lot of issues. Macaulay Culkin did not make it out in such great shape. Like, there's a lot of, I think, and you don't know if your child can handle it because they're children. Like, they're kids. You don't know their capacity for coping skills. You don't know their capacity to understand everything that's going on around them. Like, you don't understand it. So it's, God, I don't know. I don't know if we should have laws against a certain age where kids can get into to film and television, like entertainment. It's that's crazy.
Because or maybe Britney Spears, just make it Jesus. So they're always like independently represented and their parents can't be in charge of that.
It would have to be a guardian ad litem. Yeah. Like, yeah. That you would have to have someone appointed by like the state.
An agency or yeah. something. Yeah.
Like they should be assigned a social yeah. worker.
Yeah.
And a social worker of the mm-hmm. state that yeah. oversees their well-being, even if yeah. the parents want to like manage the money or whatever, but they should have to check in with a completely independent party and mm-hmm. that holds them responsible yep. for the child's well-being, because she's not the first child star to like fall victim to being a trained dog, essentially.
Well, no. And
somebody needs to protect them from their right. own parents too.
Right. Look at Macaulay Culkin or any of those yep. people whose parents stole all their money.
Mm-hmm.
You yep. know? The thing that just gets me with this.
Lindsay Lohan?
Like, yeah. It's like anything, right? Like, you can't be, like, deemed disabled and be collecting disability, excuse me, but then also go and work. Yeah. Because you can't do those two things. So if Brittany is legitimately that incapable of making decisions on her own, then it makes sense for her to be in a conservatorship. But then she shouldn't be working. That's insane.
They shouldn't be doing that to her.
They shouldn't. No. There should be. If that's the case, then she's really, really struggling that much and needs that much assistance. Where is anybody protecting her from being used as a
prop,
as a prop and a machine?
A tiger.
Yeah.
We were actually talking about this. One of the women I work with today, and I'm not going to fall down the Taylor Swift rabbit hole right now because we're going to do that in a minute. But we were talking about her documentary that came out. And I said, one of the things that I found so striking about it, because she started at 13 and her first big album came out when she was 16, was that you can see in the documentary, her mom has never stopped being her mom. She went up against even her dad with her choices and was defending her. She's always, yes, I know she's played a part in like her management, but you could tell her first obligation to Taylor has been to be her mother. Yeah. And I don't know if that's because they came from money already. So her mom was like, it doesn't matter. You're not our ticket. Like, we were fine. Right. Your dad was a day trader, that she grew up in a big house. And like, I don't know if that was it, or some, just like some kids aren't wired to be able to handle it, some parents are wired better to handle having a celebrity child. Yeah. But who knows what someone like Taylor Swift would have turned out like if she hadn't had the mom who was consistently her mom through the whole thing.
Before we go down the Taylor Swift rabbit hole, Stacey, take us down the Jada and Will rabbit hole first.
I have 5 minutes because I need some time for Taylor. I'm just saying.
There have been rumors for years that Jada and Will are in an open marriage.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, they've never addressed it, but that's been the rumor. So, so they made some news recently because Jada had apparently... What'd you say?
Entanglements. I love that word now. Entanglement.
It makes me sad if I follow Will on social media. Will Smith, if anybody is mom, I know you're listening. I know you don't know who we're talking about. I follow Will Smith, and they're such a happy family, and he's so supportive of his kids and such a family person that it makes me sad that like they're being kind of attacked right now about their relationship, because I feel like for a Hollywood couple, they do a lot of stuff right, you know? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so August Alsina wrote a song in which he basically said that he had been hooking up with Jada. And then in an interview, he said that Will knew about it and had given permission for that to happen.
What a good segue.
People freaked out and were like, made a big deal about it. So Jada hosts this show on Facebook called Red Table Talk. And so she'll bring people on. She brought Jordan on when there was all this drama between like Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian.
It's like you're speaking a foreign language to me.
I know. No one who
I was like, Jordan, Michael Jordan?
I like Michael Jordan.
I love Michael Jordan. He was on the Red Table Talk.
Oh, God. So basically, she brought herself to the Red Table with Will. And I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. They're going to talk about it. So what it boils down to is they were separated. So she was...
were on a break.
Right, exactly. They were on a break. Thank you, Ross and Rachel. at least they both agreed they were on a break. That's the difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what it boiled down to. So they kind of explained away that, like, you know, Will didn't give permission for it. They were not together at the time, and they both had the freedom to be exploring other things. They were separated. And he was so clearly hurt by all of it. And you can tell, like, that was a really hard time in their marriage. They had almost gotten divorced, but they ended up working through it. They got back together. The lesson from this whole thing that I take away is for Jada to bring herself to the table, to have this serious conversation, and to refer to what she was involved in as an entanglement, to the point where Will had to ask her to clarify like 3 or 4 times to finally just say she was in a relationship with him. because she, it has forever changed the word entanglement in the lexicon of American culture.
Absolutely. And entanglement. Totally has an entanglement. I just feel like I watched it and I was like, all right, I'm ready to hear about how she lied, did some shady shit, and Will caught her. Like, what's going on? And they sit down, and she's like, so I was friends with August. I brought him into our family because he had some health issues, and, like, we were friends and, you know, whatever. And then we broke up. And Will is very, like, clear. He's like, I was done with your ass. Right. I was done. The relationship was over to
me. It was such a good, mature conversation between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. And then she says, so then I got close to August, whatever, we had the entanglement, and then we got back together, and August cut ties. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the whole thing was, if that's exactly how it went down, that's so mature. You know, mm-hmm. they had a family friend, mm-hmm. they broke up, they thought the marriage was over, she hooked up with the family friend.
Right.
Got back together with her husband and was like, we're going to work this out. We have kids. We have a mm-hmm. marriage. Let's mm-hmm. do this. We're committed. And the guy said, cool, because that happened, I need to peace out because I'm not going to come between you and your husband. I'm not going to have him have weird feelings about me, whatever. I'm gone. The whole thing is super mature. So I don't know why everybody freaked out. Like, why are people saying that Will is like wrecked over it and Jada cheated? And their marriage is doomed now. Like, I don't get it.
I think it's not as many people like watch the video because that's what they were saying before the video came out. But because I had the same reaction, I watched it and I literally texted, I think I texted my boss and I was like, that was the most mature conversation about a relationship and like most enlightened. And you're right. Will was just like, no, I was done. We were done. But you could also see in both of them were super raw, super emotional, like, about that time, but they had come such a long way and they seem to be really proud of the amount of work they put into their relationship to come back from that point. And they reference that and they talk about how hard it was and how much work it was. But at the same time, I feel like Jada was trying to cop out a little bit by just referring to it as an entanglement.
Well, to be fair, I have a few thoughts. One, people don't fucking realize how hard marriage is, especially a marriage that has spanned decades. Like, relationships or friendships that span decades are hard. Like, being a consistent in someone's life for that long is difficult. And you're not even talking about the pressures of constantly being followed by the paparazzi and, you know, having your children, like, they're so open and like kind of free with their children who have gone through a multitude of things and have expressed them very publicly. Like,
they're also famous.
Yes. Like, yes.
Kids are famous in their own right. Yeah.
So I don't really like when people start like judging, well, if it was me, I would have done that. You have no fucking idea what you would have done because you don't know what their marriage is actually like. Like, no one actually knows a marriage except for the two people involved in it. Two, I wasn't a huge fan of the all of the like Twitter comments being like, oh, if it had been Will dating a younger woman, you all would have been calling him, you know, whatever, that he was assaulting this girl and blah, blah, blah. I was like, just stop sleeping with underage women. Like, he's not an assaulter if you just stop fucking underage women or women who are in a consensual relationship with it. Like, no, we wouldn't be calling him anything if they were in a consensual relationship. Like, I didn't like that. And three, when I watched it, and I didn't watch the whole thing, but I don't know that she was, I think what she was downplaying was Will's feelings about it. Because to her, I think what I got from it was that because they had broken up, she was just like testing the waters. And I don't think it necessarily meant that much to her as much as she was seeing if she could be happy outside their marriage. Mm-hmm. So I think the reason she's kind of like about it was because I don't think she ever saw like a future with this guy. I think she was just, it was available. It was easy. And it was there. And I don't
think it's safe, right? You already know the person. Yeah.
So I don't think she fully took into it. And it's hard for us to do that to, especially when you've hurt someone that you've loved, to fully embrace the hurt that you've caused them. That's a really difficult thing to do because you're admitting that you have let that person down. And when you really love someone, the last thing you want to do is let them down. They can be mad at you. They can storm off and not talk to you for 6 months. But when you've disappointed someone, that shit's hard. Like, it's it's hard.
And I think, too, the other thing I really did think about, though, when she was saying, like, the whole entanglement thing, is because I wonder if that was just her way of saying, like, she entered into a sexual relationship, not necessarily like, emotional one, because let's just be real. Like, if you guys were separated and to the point you were going to get divorced or whatever, you probably weren't having sex that much.
Right.
I think she was just, for lack of a better word, trying to get her dick wet.
Yeah. And there could have been, there could have been sexual tension between them that they kind of felt because they're two very attractive people. So there could have been a little bit, and they were like, well, we're both free now. Let's try it out. And it could have sucked.
Yeah,
it could have been like, okay, this, I've been with my husband for a long time and that was weird and I'm not into it. And, you know, and that's why it's an entanglement instead of a
relationship.
And you know, what?
Also,
go ahead, Aaron.
No, I was going to say, it could have also showed, you know, Jada that she was like still in love with Will and she still wanted to be with him. And it was, it was like, you know what, this, our marriage is way more important. And I obviously have way more connection with Will than I do with August, you know, whatever.
Well, because people don't realize the layers that go into a marriage. It's just if you like the person, if you love the person, there's family involved, there's sex involved, there's money involved, there's inadequacies, there's jealousy, there's comfort, there's communication. Like, marriages and long-term relationships and whatever are so complex that... I just think people should give them fucking credit for trying to make it work at this point. Who knows if it will stand the test of time, but these two, hey, if they want to try, I wish them nothing but the best. Good for them. I hope it works out. And if it doesn't, I hope they can walk away amicably. Like, I really do. Because
it's just not anybody's business.
Right.
It really isn't.
And you know
it's
what?
Sad.
It probably wouldn't be that big of a deal if we weren't all stuck inside, glued to our fucking phones. 100%.
So into all of these things.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, too, what's important to remember is, like, okay, so these people are human. And at the end of everything is the fact that they love each other enough to come back together and talk about it. Like, there are so many people in this world that can't talk about what's going on in their lives, whether it be indiscretions or infidelities or whatever. They don't have enough comfort to be able to say, like, this is what I'm feeling. And the fact that they do is, like, so much more mature and so much more open and so much more mentally stable and mental health stable than anything that we've probably experienced is part of the reason that the American culture is having such a fucking hard time dealing with it.
Well, what a great example for their kids, right?
Right. Like, fucking talk about what's going on in your life and then maybe... you won't have to get a divorce. Maybe you'll be able to fix a relationship that's, you know, 30 years in the making. Like, instead of just calling it quits.
4 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like it happened 6 months ago and Will is just now finding out about it and it's like raw emotion. It was 4 years
ago. And he knew about it.
He knew about it. It wasn't a surprise to him.
Well, and what a great example for their kids to see that this is how you work through relationships and, you know, this is how mature conversations look. And when big things happen, you have to have real talk about it or they're not going to go away. Like, I think especially as parents, you want to shield your kids from that kind of shit, but you forget that they're going to grow up emulating whatever kind of relationship that you have with their parent. So if you push everything under the rug and don't talk about it, that's what they're going to do. So I think they set a good example, as painful as it probably, you really think either of them wanted to get on fucking live stream TV and talk about it? I really doubt that either one of them did. I'm glad they waited until they were in a healthy place to do so. Cause I think they were a good example.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
So.
No!
The moment we've all been waiting for.
I got one more. No, I'm just joking. I don't. Jackie, go, Jackie, go!
So, in case you have been disconnected from Twitter or Facebook or the internet or I don't know, whatever else you've...
world.
I don't know, yeah. Taylor Swift released TS8 last night, 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, midnight Eastern Time.
Hold on, pause for a second. I just have to point out, you started talking about this. We all leaned into our cameras and Stacey sat way.
I love that. I texted Jax this morning as soon as I saw it on Instagram, and she was like, Taylor was like, surprise, like, I released an album at midnight. It was like 4 hours old, and I sent it, and then quickly realized, oh, okay, dumbass, she's known for a very long time, and I should have known that right away. But
I love that you thought of me, though. I appreciate it. So, TS8, otherwise known as Folklore. So, typically, Taylor does, like, a five-month build-up to one of her albums coming out. There's Easter eggs. There's singles. There's interviews. There's hints. There's... She's
the whole color scheme of her Instagram changes.
She is the queen of build-up and the queen of Easter eggs. And, I mean, let's be real. Taylor Swift is a fucking marketing genius. Like, hands down. She has branded herself so well, and she's a marketing genius. So when the news went out that she was just, hey, guys, I made this album in quarantine. And first of all, can we I've just been, like, trying not to gain 15 pounds in quarantine, and Taylor Swift wrote an entire fucking album, which in and of itself
I just shout out my friend Devin, because she texted me when she was listening to it, and she's like, oh, my God, Taylor Swift wrote an entire album, and all I've done is rearranged my...
I know, right? Like, yesterday, I was like, all we've been doing is trying not to gain 15 pounds, and this bitch
and
comes
failing.
Out...
And fucking... failing miserably.
Yeah, I've definitely gained 15 pounds plus,
so,
not put out an album.
I'm going to be honest. When I first heard it, a part of me was very nervous, because it was less than a year since Lover came out.
Right.
And I was worried that it wasn't going to be very good.
Because, like, Lover was really good.
Lover was so good. Like, right. 1989, phenomenal. Okay, Red is still, I think, one of her best albums. 1989 was just phenomenal. I'm
just
a huge
full of box.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Reputation. I know a lot of people aren't, but I'm a huge fan. Okay. Lover, incredible. Mm-hmm. So I was nervous when especially all the black and white pictures started coming up, and, like, everything was in lowercase letters, and, like, it just wasn't like anything she did. It wasn't like anything she's done before. And I just want to publicly apologize for not trusting in Taylor Swift, because
I knew the second I saw the woods, I was going to be okay with it. I was like, this bitch is in the woods. I love her. I love woods.
It is one, unlike anything she's ever done, all of the songs are slow. All of the songs are piano and guitar and really folksy sounding. There's still some synthesism in there that's like
there
a throwback to 1989. Hit. Yeah, there's a lot of drum hits. As far as albums go, this is lyrically the most beautiful thing she's ever created. I don't think it's going to bump it out as my favorite album, because I still like Taylor's bops. I do. I'm here for them. But lyrically, it is by far the most impressive, by far.
Like,
and
it's far and away.
It is hands down the most gay album she has written to date.
It is
super
so
gay.
It is
they
so
gay.
They
literally talked about it on the moon today. They said Tay is gay.
So what were your guys' reactions?
Wait, hold on. I really think that you need to explain to everybody how we listened to this album. Like, the listening process.
I was like, streamed in via text.
We tried to get Aaron involved, but it was like midnight already. And so Aaron had to do it silently. But Jackie and I Skyped and then listened to all the songs
like
on
this.
YouTube.
Like, and then I was like, for some reason I was ahead of you guys, so I'd be like, oh my god,
we were going out of order.
I was listening in order, and I was just like, oh my god,
and
oh,
like,
my god.
And like,
oh my god,
and like the music video and stuff, it was funny because we'd be watching it and then our faces would like we would just freak out silently on Skype listening to these songs.
It was amazing.
Why don't you explain a little why we freaked out? Or are we not there yet? Or do we want to go over just impressions of the album?
Impressions of the album.
Okay.
I was sad because I turned it on thinking that I was going to have some Lover pop, bubblegum pop vibes. And I need that in my life right now. So I was like kind of excited. And so I was like, all right. And I was so like sad because they're all like sad songs and slow songs, and then a man's voice came on for Exile and I was like, what the fuck am I listening to? That's never happened on a Taylor Swift album. And so I was kind of bummed. And I ended up, after like the seventh or eighth song, I had to switch it over because I'm just not in the mindset right now to have that. So I turned Lover on.
Yeah.
I did it. Sorry.
I switched to Lover earlier today too, because as much as I love Folklore, I needed some Taylor.
Yeah,
like Bob's, because it's sad. The album is sad.
It's very sad. And I was on my way to a doctor's appointment, and I was like not in the headspace to listen to sad. And I kept expecting it to pick up, because Lover has some sad songs too. So I was like, okay, it'll come. And then I was like, I can't right now.
Yeah,
I can't.
You definitely have to be in a headspace to listen to Folklore. Like, you really, it's definitely a mood. Like, the
it
album
is the
a mood.
Best. Album for when you're like just sad. I don't know if you guys ever get those points where you're like, I'm sad, I'm having sad feelings, I need to listen to sad songs and cry.
As a fucking emotional Pisces, this album is literally my jam. This is everything I have ever loved about Taylor Swift in an entire album. Like, lyrically, it is beautiful. Musically, it is absolutely amazing. Like, my favorite artist ever is Florence and the Machine. Mm-hmm. I love Florence. Florence Welch is
very depressing.
A goddamn fucking genius. Yeah, and but she's depressing. And like, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't necessarily like Florence and the Machine because they don't understand like the idea behind, you know, some, like, even her upbeat music is depressing. Like, it's like you listen to her lyrics and it's depressing. But this album in particular, this is literally everything that I love about music. I can't handle it right now. Woody just came to visit us. Hi, Woody.
You want to say hi, Lincoln? Say hi.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
God.
Hi,
Lincoln. Lincoln's first podcast. Lincoln, what do you think about Taylor Swift?
Hi.
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 He can't hear you because it's in the headphones.
I figured.
Jackie said, how do you like Taylor Swift?
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Oh my God. This is adorable.
Hi.
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 Say Taylor Swift.
Can you say Taylor Swift?
Say KK.
Deaf.
Taylor Swift, good job.
Love it.
He's the best.
So that being said, this album is literally my fucking jam. Like, this is my kind of music. Every single song, I love it. I listen to it all day long. There wasn't a single time when I had to turn it off because I was feeling depressed. Like, this album made me feel good about my mental health, because like I struggle a lot with like a lot of things that have happened to me in the last couple of years. Like, there's been some ups and downs in my life that just I will probably not talk about on this podcast ever for a good reason. But like there, but it has been a fucking couple of years for me. So to hear Taylor be able to so eloquently put it into lyrics and to music, and I'm telling you guys, like, this album is
some of the lines are,
yeah,
Shakespearean. Like, they really
it's
are.
Literally, she's the Shakespeare of our time. And like, the fact that, like, I'm telling you right now, like, I have very few albums that I can listen all the way through without changing it. This is one of them, and it will be until probably the day I die. Like, I love this album so much. Like, I am 100% a Taylor Swift fan. I mean, not that there was any doubt before that, but Jackie pulled me down this fucking rabbit hole that she's getting ready to pull you guys through. And I literally am not upset about it. Like, I have never not regretted something so much in my whole life. Like, right now I'm like, hashtag no regrets, hashtag fucking do this, hashtag Folklore, hashtag Taylor Swift, hashtag Kaylor. There you go.
Stacey?
Okay. I am going to agree 100% with Aaron on the, like, this is the album I needed. I like music that's cathartic for me. And so I consider myself, like, a pretty positive, cheerful person. But I, like, need sad music. All of my favorite songs are, like, the most gut-wrenching, like, rip-your-heart-out songs you've ever heard. And so this album, for me, was, like, everything I needed. Again, after just, like, the shittiest last 6 months and just... It just gutted me in the best way.
Right?
It felt like my soul and my feelings were like eviscerated in a way that I really loved. And I just like some of the songs just spoke to me so much. Like Exile is so good. It's just so good. And honestly, like the one Cardigan, Last Great American Dynasty is so good. I really like Invisible String. I mean, there's so many. But in Exile, just like, I think I've seen this film before and I didn't like the ending.
Ugh.
It
preach
me. And you know what it reminds me of? Probably, I don't know if anybody on here, maybe Aaron, has seen or listened to anything from the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
So it totally reminds me of that when you, like, the last 5 years is a musical, it's a movie. If you see the movie version, it's great. It has Anna Kendrick and Jeremy Jordan. But it's the story of this relationship, and it starts in these, like, two timelines. So, like, she's telling the story from the end of their relationship, and he's telling the story from the beginning of their relationship, and eventually they're, like,
I never got that is so perfect, yes!
And that's what this song is to me. It's, like, these two different perspectives of stuff. And you don't really realize where it's going to come together until it does. And it's like, it's so, like, sonically, this is the most cohesive album I think that she's ever put out. And like you said, lyrically, it's just like, this is me trying.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
I just was like,
this is me trying the part when she talks about hope. When she talks about, I've listened to it a million fucking times, and unfortunately, I do not fucking have it memorized yet.
Okay, so, and this is the thing I do when I deep dive, that before you say it, I just want to recommend. Go to Genius and read the lyrics on there, because people can add annotations, and it adds so much to it. And I think, like, Hamilton is the other one I recommend for doing that and reading those annotations, because I just feel like, as a lyricist, Taylor Swift is like...
She's the poet laurate of our generation.
Well, that's what most of this is. It's like poetry, it's poetry. Right? Like, right. Legit poetry.
Well, to add to your comparison there, Stacey, the part where she's like... I never learned to read your, and she's never learned to read your mind. I couldn't turn things... You never turn things around. And then, because you never gave a warning sign... I gave so many signs. I'm like, holy fuck. Like, when I first was listening to that, like, we were on last night, all of us. You guys are Skyping. I'm solo in bed with Gail, sound asleep. AirPods in, like,
furiously texting us.
I am so sad I can't be online with you guys. But, like, at the same time, I heard those lyrics. Like, because that lyric video, too, with that person walking down the single lane in that fucking forest. Like, I don't know why, but that lyric video made me feel so many things.
All of the lyric videos were so well made.
God, right? Like, so seeing that and, like, you never gave any... I gave so many times. Like, it's so, so indicative of what happens in, like, a relationship. It's like, you were on one page and the other at the end of a relationship, like,
and you never talked about those things.
I also think one of the things about, and Taylor Swift is by far not the only artist to fall into this category, but we're talking about her right now. It's not very often that you get to see an individual doing what they were truly born to do. And I do think this is truly what Taylor Swift was meant to do with her life. And I'm so glad that she finally found a record company that is letting her make the exact kind of music she wants to, because it's also very rare that you see an artist get better with each album. And I don't just mean in the arrangements or the musical analysis or the lyrics. I mean, her voice has gotten better. Her presentation has gotten better. Yeah. Like, the way she's arranging the songs, it's almost as if she gets it now. And, like, I was watching Cardigan again today, and there's a lot of theories floating around there, just like every time Taylor Swift releases a song, there's a lot of theories. Mm-hmm. And at first, when I first heard the music, I think it could be taken in a multitude of ways, but one of the things that I think that the video expresses is it's almost like music saved her. That yeah. every time something was going wrong in her life, with be it a guy or a girl, whatever, she kept coming back to the piano. The piano was like her life raft.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I thought that it was really beautiful the way that she portrayed that, because she shot this in quarantine, so she couldn't do her major productions like she normally does. And she directed it. She wrote it. So you know that the music video was coming straight from her.
Right. And it was, she did her hair, her makeup, she styled herself. But also, here's the other genius, I think, to this, is don't you think that Daylight is a prelude to this whole album?
100%.
I felt like Daylight, and I don't even know how intentional that was, but I felt like Daylight almost seemed a little, not out of place, but it's just such a shift.
It's always planned. In Reputation, in one of her songs, she's like, it precedes me. Me was her first single off of Lover.
She's a goddamn genius.
Daylight sounds so different from the rest of Lover, even from the sad songs, that kind of ethereal, like, in the woods, nymph, fairy kind of sound. That sounds so much like it could be on this album.
Mm-hmm.
So no drums, no anything. I want to hang up on you guys and go listen to it again.
Let's do it. Bye, guys.
And like I tweeted today, like, life is too short to pretend you don't like Taylor Swift. Like, knock it off, guys. Like, those of you that say you don't like Taylor, stop. I just don't. I don't understand you, because even if you don't necessarily like her music, like, how can you not appreciate the lyrics that this woman produces consistently over and over again? And I know it's not cool or whatever to say you like Taylor Swift, but
we are making it cool right now. It is fucking cool. If you like T Swizzle, you are in it right now with us. God damn.
Let's jump into the gay overtones.
Wait, let me put on my gay pants.
So for years, if you're new to this,
welcome.
Yeah. For years, there has been speculation as to whether or not Taylor Swift would be bisexual, would be, you know, had relationships with women, whatever you want to call it. I literally don't have the time to deep dive you into this. I really don't, because the years that I have, like, fallen into this rabbit hole is just, it's unconscionable, like, truly. So Aaron and I were discussing today, though, because there is kind of a theme going on Twitter about Taylor queer baiting and how people are kind of tired of it, because there's a lot of overtones in this album that allude to the fact that she has been in relationship with women, most notably probably Karlie Kloss, but especially the way she arranges her yous and me's and she's and he's. There's a lot of speculation to be made, especially around the song Betty. There's one theory going around right now that it's a love triangle between a teenage love triangle, which doesn't completely add up because each one kind of takes place in a different time period. Also, she references Inez and James, who some people are like, oh, then Betty must be Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively's third child, because their two daughters are named James and Inez. No one knows the third daughter's name yet. I don't think that's true. I think what she did intentionally was she used Inez and she used James as a reference to be able to say a girl's name can be James also.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're a decent Taylor Swift fan, you know that she was named after James Taylor. So,
and you're a decent fan of the rest of this, you would know that Karlie Kloss's middle name is Elizabeth.
Betty.
Or Betty.
Yes. So, but as far as the queer, as far as the queer baiting goes, I don't, I'll be honest, I'm incredibly biased towards her. So I will defend her probably needlessly. I don't think people realize the repercussions of Taylor Swift coming out. Because she, and I'm not talking about, oh, she'd lose fans or whatever. I don't think it's that at all. I think it's who she would out if she came out. Okay. And I think that that's what she avoids by blatantly saying, I have been, whether or not she used a label, but I have been involved with women. So, because then it's not like the media is going to be like, oh, okay, cool. We're not going to question you about anyone you've ever dated. Like, mm-hmm. Diana Argon is married to a man now.
But I think that's why a lot of affluent, I don't want to say affluent, because that doesn't, no, I don't want to say affluent. I want to say people that are in the spotlight. They mm-hmm. don't necessarily come to terms with what's going on in their lives or tell everybody about what's going on in their lives or, you know, say, hey, I'm this, because it means answering a whole laundry list of questions that could put other people in jeopardy or ruin other people's lives. And not because being a bisexual can ruin your life necessarily, because it won't. It'll probably make your life even more full. But it's the idea that the people that are in your life could come back and, like, you know, do a 180.
Especially because of a lot of her assumed exes are married to men now. So publicly outing them would put a lot of stress and pressure on those marriages. And it would then turn into a conversation of something different that would take away from the music. And I also think the other aspect of it too, even if you don't think it's gay, Taylor has been pretty open about writing music for everyone. So if you interpret it as gay, maybe she meant you to, because she cares about the gay community and is writing music for you too. Like, I'm not her, so I don't know.
Although when she does talk about the community, she uses words like we and us. Just saying.
Oh, I think it's gay. I'm just talking to the people who are still in denial about it. But after this, it's amazing how Twitter is kind of, all the straight people on Twitter are like, wait a minute,
is it not a lady?
So it's most obvious in Betty. Stacey's and mine's eyes like turn into huge saucers, because I was like, did Taylor Swift just come out? Like, is that what just happened? And then in Illicit Affairs, she very intentionally says you, talking about a person, which you could easily interpret that she's talking in the third person, but she dispels that at the end when she says, I would die in secret for you. She changes tenses, which alludes to the fact that this whole time she's saying you, she's talking about a different person. And she says, you don't put on the perfume that you picked out for him, which is very Karlie Kloss being married to the Kushner now.
Yes.
So
it's a whole vibe.
I just wish one day, and maybe we should, is just do a Taylor Swift episode where we literally dissect. I know, but like another.
But just where we go through all of, we go down the wormhole. The Taylor is by wormhole.
We're gonna do it again.
Oh,
I think we should. I literally think. And then
we get a cease and desist order.
It's a thing. No, there are YouTube videos about it now.
Yeah,
it is a whole ass thing. Let me tell you,
Tadar the podcast.
Karlie Kloss posted a picture 1 week ago of her standing in a forest, kind wearing a cardigan, which, could be coincidence, but guess what? It's summer.
Yeah.
In California.
Do people wear a lot of cardigans in summer outside?
No. I do not.
I just find that.
And dancing to folk music.
Dancing to folk music. So,
I mean, the only thing that would have made it better is if there was like a crackling fire, like a Lilith Fair thing.
A little bit of sparkles coming up.
Yes.
So she posted that picture 1 week ago. So my nosy ass goes and looks at it, because now I know this is the thing that's happening. So I go through the comments. The comments ended 1 week ago, and then Folklore came out, and then gay Instagram went wild in the comments about, like, oh, okay, is that a cardigan you're wearing? I mean, it was just like the most.
I'll tell you right now, when the video for Cardigan ended, if you have not seen the video, hashtag spoiler alert, I'll give you time to turn off the podcast right now. But at the end of the video, she puts on a fucking cardigan. I literally went back to the Karlie Kloss thing, and I was like, oh, it's the same. It's not the same.
It's not.
Also, I thought it was going to be, and I was like I was literally going to pee my pants.
The other references to cardigan throughout, when people are saying it's a love triangle, how many men, because they talk, if she's talking in the male point of view, he talks about putting the cardigan on. how many men do you know put on their girlfriend's sweatshirt? Or sweat? Zero.
I don't know a lot of guys.
How many men do you know that even wear cardigans?
I'm just saying, like, it's not a typical
gay
thing.
Ones.
Yeah. Stacey, how many cardigans does Kai have?
Zero.
Only the ones that say PG&E on them and are yellow.
No.
The cardigan that comes to mind for a guy is when in the Goonies, when she puts the cardigan on and like, and then she hangs it on the thing and he pulls it up. And she's like, what was her name? Alex?
Andy.
Andy!
You Goonie!
Like, that's the only cardigan I've ever known that a guy fucking wears, and it's because he's a fucking prep school loser.
Right, the closest was a, like, Chandler wearing sweater vests.
Yeah, so it just, it doesn't hold cardigan. Up. It doesn't hold no. up to the straight theories that, but.
In the court of fashion, it does not fucking hold up.
My question is, after hearing how sad this album is, do you guys think she's still with Joe?
Yes, and I think she's miserable.
I would agree with that. I think she's still with him, and I think that she wrote Lover, and I think a lot of those songs are about him and are about being in love with him, and there are a few songs on there that I think are sad songs about Karlie Kloss, and I think that this album is 100% more of that because she's not over it.
Yeah. I think her heart is so severely broken from everything that happened because...
She talks about it that in Peace, like you, mm-hmm. New York, I left a piece of me in New York. It pulled me apart. Right. And what you did right. was just as dark. What does that mean?
Right.
Right.
It means exactly what you fucking think it means. It means that she is fucking wrecked because I feel too, like as a lesbian or as a woman who loves women, like it's a different, I don't want to say that straight love is not the same because it is, and I get it and I understand, but like there's something to be said about two women that have an emotional connection, and when that is severed because of whatever the fuck it is so crazy to try to get past it and try to get over it. And you know, I've struggled with getting past certain people in my life that have broken my fucking heart, and it sucks, and it is the worst fucking feeling ever because all you want to do is just get over it and get past it and move on, and then something happens and it pulls you right back in, and or
well, she talks whatever. About it like I have never seen colors the way I did when I was with you, and mm-hmm. we talk right. in a secret language, and that's not, I mean, as our two resident straight girls, is that straight talk? I don't...
Not do them. You see colors differently when you met me? Probably not.
there's a ton of gay undertones in it, to be honest. I personally think Taylor is legitimately bisexual. Mm-hmm. I think she is 100% in a relationship with Joe Alwyn. And I think she's struggling to let that other part of her go because I think Karlie wrecked her in a way that she has never been able to get over, especially because Karlie kind of betrayed her by, after their very public breakup after Kissgate, kind of becoming friends with Scooter Braun and Katy Perry. And like, mm-hmm. she, and I don't know. I do think she is with Joe Alwyn, though. And I think Kaylor is dead.
Yeah. I just think, like, this is, like, all these people think love's for show, but I would die for you in secret.
Mm-hmm. Why do you ever die for any straight boy in secret?
Well, especially Joe
girl?
Alwyn. Like, who the fuck? Oh. Even dating back to Reputation, talking about I loved you in secret, you and me would be a big conversation. Would it? Right. No one. Who fucking
no,
knows?
No,
who
actually, no, wait, you dating another straight guy? Like,
yeah. A straight
surprise,
white dude?
Surprise.
No one gives a shit.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's all very.
Who gives a fuck when you're dating some guy? No one.
It's not news.
Yeah. Well, dancing with our hands tied, like in secret, like invisible lockets, and then dress. I'm sorry. Okay. If you're a female and you say something like, I only bought this dress so you could take it off. What man do you know that gives a shit about what kind of dress you have on if they're having sex? Zero men care what designer you're wearing, what color your dress is, any of those things. All they care about is getting laid. Who cares about fashion? Karlie Kloss.
And it's just interesting, too, because when you go back and listen to a lot of her songs, she uses very feminine, flowery language to describe the person she loves.
Mm-hmm.
And just words that you would not usually use to describe a man.
Let's be real. If she was 100% straight, she would always use him or he or whatever.
Yeah.
Always. It doesn't fucking matter. You don't read a romance novel from a straight woman talking about straight sex saying, oh, it's never a question. She's having sex with a man, period. Mm-hmm.
Well, even so, you can tell in her songs when she's talking about a man, not even when she doesn't use the word he or boy
it's
or whatever.
Because
she talks about like his attitude and like their presence as opposed to like gorgeous and the shape of you. Who talks about a man like, oh, the shape of you? That's not like, a male thing.
Oh,
like,
I love your man hips.
Right.
About your man hips.
Well, and if you are familiar with like, so even on Lover, go listen to False God, okay? Where her hips are the altar.
Yeah.
You are, she says, you're the West Village. Karlie Kloss lived in the West Village. Joe has never lived in America. Mm-hmm. And I'm still your favorite city. Like Cornelia Street, the city screams your name. When has New York ever screamed Joe Alwyn's name? It screams Karlie Kloss because she was on every fucking billboard you passed. Like, straight people, just come on over. It's fine.
Hips are an altar? Like, that is such a lesbian thing. Like,
what? When,
like, the hips are an altar. Like, that is such a fucking, like, I will be very honest with you. The hips are an altar, and I have prayed many times to that God.
I literally never once have been like, this guy's hips are out of control. Don't lie.
Well, go back to Reputation again and listen to So It Goes. And she says, one of the lines is, wear you like a necklace. That is a totally women loving women thing. You think she's gonna wear Joe Alwyn like a necklace?
Oh.
Gross. Gross.
Tie on your neck?
Boo. Right. Who are you wearing like a necklace? Women. That's a term for going down on someone, for those of you that don't know, even though everyone that listens to us is like a gay female.
I know because I took this deep dive a long time ago.
So
Jackie had to explain it.
You're not gay, Stacey?
Oh my God, have we not talked about this?
Oh, there goes my crush.
So anyway.
Yeah, because I just love these men's hips.
Hey, yo!
Can't help it.
Like those hips, they don't lie.
Well, and talking about like, even in Gorgeous, talking about like, you kiss me in the bathtub when I'm drunk, like, I'm sorry, who do you sit in bath, like, if a girl's sitting in your, like, I don't know, it. Maybe it's because I'm gay that I'm like, I can't possibly picture a man sitting.
Even as a straight person, some of these lyrics, I'm like, really? Like, about a dude?
That I could see, like, them being about a guy. Like, there are certain circumstances, but, like, romance-wise, like, I don't know. Like, I do think, I'm not saying that no guy is romantic, because I think, I'm sure Kai has swept Stace off her feet numerous times. Like I'm sure that, like, Stacey has been swept off her feet numerous times. Like, I'm sure that happened.
Not a long time.
Not by a guy. Hey! Maybe by me. I'm just joking. Why do I even joke around about this? I don't know. But anyway.
That's funny.
I think it is. But I think that, like, when you actually take things and you, like, dissect it, it's like, Taylor's not going to write about that because that's not something that's like heart-wrenching. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you were to take a straight romance novel and you were to look at it and like actually just dissect what moves you, yes, the sex scene would absolutely get you wet, right? Like, you would be wet because of a sex scene. But the parts that move you are the emotional parts. The parts when the guy opens up and tells you things. And those are the things that Taylor writes about. And that's not going to happen with a guy in these terms that she uses. It's not the same. And I just think that, like, she did not expect lesbian romance novelists to dissect this, and we are.
Yeah, guess what?
So, Stace, what are you obsessed with this week, since we've covered ours as collectively folklore?
Okay, so number one, I have two little things. Number one is I started watching the Netflix show In the Dark, which is about a blind 20-something woman who her best friend is murdered, and she has to jump in and kind of prompt the cops to solve his murder. And it's really good. I'm really into it. There's only two seasons, but I did, we watched season one and I'm like, I'm into it. It's cute. It's funny. She's a hot mess. She's a drunk, but also the fact that she's a drunk and she's blind, like, it's really funny. She's sarcastic as shit. Like, yeah, she's good. Number two is Jax. Your wife lately has really, pulled me through some texts, some episodes and stuff. And I just want to shout out to her for being the most patient person and the most, like, caring person ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if she's told you. I don't know how much she tells you about, like, our texts and stuff, but she...
I didn't know you were texting.
That's your patient.
I just said, because I've done the same thing.
I've done it, too. I know this poor girl, like, I'm sure it's kind of like my brother's fiance is an ER doctor, and so, like, she probably gets friends all the time that say, like, can you look at this bump? But, like, your sister, your wife, I'm sure, like, everybody's always like, is this normal? But lately, I feel like she's kind of gone above and beyond friendship with me, being really patient and really understanding and checking in with me, and I just love her for that. And so I'm really glad that you met somebody that's so cool and so compassionate, and she's really cool. So
you're welcome.
Right? Thank you for that.
I feel like I said that to you too. I was like, oh, it's not like Lex is just your wife, like we're friends with her.
I'm friends with her too, and I've never, like, even met her.
Just genuinely be friends with her.
She's so good about like checking in with people, and she's so much better than I am about, like, I don't always see the anxiety or the struggles or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see it, but she's real good about that kind of stuff.
You want your best friend to marry somebody that you like, of course, so that you're not like always in struggle with like the jealousy and attention, and there's like weird stuff that goes on. But, like, when you actually connect with the person and you're genuinely friends with them, too, it's, like, a whole nother level of, like, oh, I'm so glad you met this person because she's an awesome person. So
that's really nice. That too. Lex is legit, like, the best person I've ever known in my life. She really is. Her patience is phenomenal. I don't know how she does it, but it's probably why she's a therapist.
Well, yep. She has a really good way of not making you feel like you're bothering her with stuff like that, you know? And then she'll, like, follow up on and check on you. So you're like, okay, good. I really don't think I, like, bothered her by asking her for help.
For me, like, a couple weeks ago, I was, like, we were just chatting and I was telling her about some stuff. And then I was, like, just talking about this is kind of not okay right now. I need to stop talking about it. She was, like, no. Why? And I was like, no, I'm...
She does that to me, too.
I'm getting talking about this. I can't talk about this. And she goes, no. Keep talking. And I was like, shit, bitch. Like, what the hell?
I know.
My heart is beating fast.
And she talked me through it. And I was like, no shit. She genuinely helped. Yeah. And that was huge. Yeah. Huge. Aww. So, yeah. Shout out to my wife.
She is tough like that.
Yeah,
the same thing.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid this is gonna happen, and she's like, right, but it's not. And I was like, right, but what? But it's not. And I was like, well, okay.
Yeah. What am I supposed to freak out about now?
I literally have a group chat on my phone that's me and Aaron and Lex, where she was like checking in with us at the beginning of quarantine because of our anxiety, and it's called the panic attack.
Yeah. I watch these animals swimming around at the aquarium, wherever the fuck. And Stacey and I are like, oh, thank you.
I know.
And we go watch penguins swimming around in like water, and we'd be like, oh, this is really fucking calming. What the
fuck? I'll come to her sometimes and I'll just be like venting, because you know how we just vent sometimes and we know it's not fair and it's not right.
You just
need
to get it out.
Yeah. And she's like, well, have you thought about why they reacted? And I'm like, could you just agree with me?
Right? It's probably annoying to you, but to me, I'm just like, shit, this is actually helpful.
God, I, like, of all the things that I wish that I had in a partner, like, Gail, I love her, and I vent to her a lot, but every now and then she's like, I think you might be obsessing a little bit, and I'm like, fuck that. I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
I'm obsessing because I'm living it. Like, don't tell me that. Like, so I should just, like,
no, I'm real lucky. Like, sometimes I'll try not to tell her about things that are bothering me because she has a lot of stuff going on with her mom and her sister and stuff right now. And so I'll like not tell her stuff. And I'll be like, it's fine. You don't need to worry about it. And she'll just be like, no, what you're going through is important too. I'm not the only person in this relationship. And I'll be like, damn, and she means it. So like, I definitely married up, like 100% I married up. So I'm very, one day she's gonna figure it out, and like I'm gonna be in a lot of trouble.
Like, you're cool without her, but like your stock definitely rises with her added to
isn't that how it should be though? Like,
she bakes, it's a whole
listen
thing.
If you're gonna marry someone that doesn't raise your stock, we're not having any of it. I'm telling you right now. They need to offer something at this point.
Yep.
That's it for us this week, guys.
Oh, wait, so, I didn't get to see what I'm obsessed with.
You already did. Have you thought about anything besides folklore in the last 24 hours?
Yes, a couple minutes ago I realized that I was so distracted by folklore that I forgot that The Kissing Booth 2 is on Netflix today, so I'm going to go watch it tonight.
Oh, my God! Wow.
I thought it's been out. I thought my kids watched it a couple days ago.
No, I thought it was today. Oh. I missed it for a couple days. Jeez Louise.
I swear my kids watched it, but whatever. I don't know.
Well, go watch Kissing Booth. Go listen to Folklore.
No.
You do you.
Folklore first.
Okay, you guys have a great weekend. Oh, next week we are having one of our listeners on, and she's going to answer some questions about what it's been like for a trans woman to enter into the lesbian community, which should be incredibly interesting. And also, our media company, Fierce Femme Media, is going to be launching a new podcast next week called Fountain of Woke. And it is Blessing's podcast. We had her on here a few weeks ago to discuss white privilege. So we're going to put that up on our channel, and then you'll also be able to find her. And that should come out on Monday. So we're doing big things over here. That probably should have been what we were obsessed with. But
I'm obsessed now.
So make sure you download Fountain of Woke next week. We're going to do a reminder. And yeah, Folklore, Kissing Booth, whatever. You do you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
All right.
Hey, yo.
Bye.
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 Bye.